Good morning, Buenos Aires, and welcome to the DMPM meeting at ICANN 53. We'll go around the room, have everyone introduce themselves, and then, but let's start with the phone. Who do we have on the phone?
Hi, Jonathan. It's Tony Honorato.
Go ahead, Pam.
Pam Little.
Graham Bunton from Two Cows.
Steve Chan from staff. Barry Cobb assisting ICANN staff.
Jonathan Zook from ACT and the IPC.
Sarah Bakke, GoDaddy.
Jennifer Scott, ICANN staff.
All right, thanks everyone. Barry, you ready to tell us what we're doing?
Yes, Barry Cobb for the transcript.
No,
I sent out an agenda a couple of days ago, which is pretty simple in that we're going to just be reviewing the initial report that was sent out about a week and a half ago. So I think that's really all we're going to be doing. So what I recommend that we do is call this meeting to a close and go back to bed. No. No, seriously. So I have loaded into the Adobe Connect room. I'll go ahead and unsync this for everybody so you can scroll through on your own. So I think when we had our last call, there was a previous version of the initial report that had a lot of suggestions, basically comments to the side or to the right of the document. So I've since then created a different version that incorporated those comments and adjusted the proposed draft recommendations that we have in here so far. So what I'm going to do, we'll just basically start with Section 5, and actually I'm going to take back control. So Section 5 of the report is, again, deliberations and recommendations of the group, and if you'll recall from our previous version, there were a series of observations that had led to a more general recommendation, and I had the I just can't think this morning.
That's a problem. I wonder if, I feel like the recommendations at this level were pretty uncontroversial. What might be worth delving into is the pilot project and the proposed budget, because we'd want to try to quantify, I think those are things to maybe work out. Those are great topics for discussion, maybe. I don't know if there's something that folks in reading this have had an issue with, and let's definitely discuss it. But it seems to me those are the big topics that have mostly come out of staff at this juncture, right? I mean, and so that might be worth some conversation.
Was there anything out of your GNSO update that we should mull over to?
Yeah, that's a good question as well, Graham. I was thinking I should do some kind of reporting on that. But I mean, that update went pretty well, too. I would say that there were a couple of issues that were raised at Council. Ann Aikman, was it Ann Aikman Scalise? Or no, who was it? It was somebody from NCSG. I'm totally forgetting the names. Was concerned about what we might be trying to do to prevent bias in the data that we received. And I think that that's a legitimate concern, but in most instances, the metrics we're talking about are not, don't involve complex regression analysis or something like that. It's like how many transfers were requested and how many failed. Let's try to cut that number in half. It's not going to be higher order math where a lot of bias enters in, right? It's not an interpretive mathematical exercise, an exercise in economics. And to the degree that it is, I think that'll more often result in a study or something like that rather than the group attempting to do anything particularly sophisticated. So I mean, that was one issue. And then, Barry, do you remember what the other issue was? I mean, I guess it was more about will you be able to get all the data or only some of the data? And that's an issue that Graham raised at one point, that some folks will be in a better position to supply data than others. And if you have only some of the data, it may reflect one business model over another, and then that may skew the data. And I don't have a ready answer to that question either, except to say that presumably that would encourage people to submit data to make it as objective as possible, and that we'd have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis. People would probably raise that when it happened. I'm not sure there's anything we can do to inoculate our process to that problem, because we're not in a position to change registry and registrar contracts, for example, to compel the production of data. So I think that'll just be a discussion on a case-by-case basis, I think. But beyond that, people seem pretty positive about it and excited about the recommendations. So anything to add, Barry? Do you remember?
The only one thing that I'll add...
Kavi, that really turned people on. That's what got people out of their seats.
What was?
Kavi, the Kavi update.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think the one thing which I believe you had responded to at the council update was that, in terms of the bias to data is, well, we don't have any data now anyway. Let's acquire some first and then worry about the bias later. But for sure, I think in general what's important here, and I guess I really need to just revert back to the recommendations that we've got started here, which will maybe hopefully increase some of the dialogue. So for the charter question C, I believe, which kind of gets into first putting together a pilot program. There were two recommendations here. One is the pilot program itself, and then the second is seeking a community budget request. I originally, as it's put in this version of the document, I split them both apart because it seemed like the appropriate thing to do. But I'm starting to second guess that, because the pilot program is the budget aspect. And so right now, we have it listed that the community, or really the GNSO, the community members in the GNSO would make a budget request. What I don't know yet is the exact process by how that gets accomplished. There's a current pilot program that is just starting to take off, and it has to deal with, I think that the overall community had requested assistance from the SGs and Cs, or for the SGs and Cs, help with those groups documenting or helping to write their position statements. Or, for example, if the BC chose to submit a public comment, that they would have some kind of assistance, and not necessarily a secretariat perspective, but drafting assistance. So if you're not aware, what you'll probably see shortly is, and they're trying to collaborate with the different SGs and Cs as to what that assistance might look like. So it's a one FTE person that has experience in this regard, and they will collaborate with the various stakeholder groups or constituencies to help them draft their public comment response, it'll be an iterative process. Obviously, the end result is the voice of that particular group that's being assisted with. At any rate, the point is that there was some community funds that were allocated to provide or to fund that particular resource. So I need to understand exactly how that request was made, because what is familiar to everybody here is, each fiscal year budgeting cycle, each SGNC submits how much they think that they're going to need for travel and support, and they'll ask other requests. So somehow in that process is what recommendation two is about. So I want to try to get some more details on what that process looks like. So I think it'll better inform the GNSO Council when they go to review this particular one, because I think currently it's up to each SGNC to submit their own budget request, not all the SGs and Cs together. So that's what I need to understand. The secondary part that I want to touch on in terms of, getting funds for this is how much do we ask for, or how much does the community ask for? And certainly it's not going to be an unlimited budget. It's not going to be anywhere in the ballpark of like the Who Is studies that were $250,000. So I think the group needs to understand or try to help shape this recommendation to make it reasonable, because it is a pilot program. So, do we explicitly say $25,000 or leave it generic because we don't know what kind of future metrics requests might be made, which is kind of the chicken and the egg thing, Let's foreshadow to September when the council were to approve this group's recommendations. I don't see anything in the pipeline right now that would where we start to test the pilot right away. So that's a couple of things to think about in regards to these two recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the amount, if we start with the... Oh, sorry, thank you. I guess it's going to really depend year to year on what comes through the pipeline, as you say, and I don't have a sense of what that costs. I don't know if it's something Graham or Pam can speak to in the context of contracted parties, or if somebody's had some experience grabbing data from a third-party source, but 25 feels very low to me. As a year's worth of data for the work groups, but I agree that we can't make the number feel too heavy, just given that it's kind of like a reserve budget for work groups that haven't been formed yet or something like that. I don't know what the best approach is, but I'm in my sort of rough calculations in my head, I feel like that number's closer to $100,000, but I don't know. Yeah.
This is Graham. It's a transcript. We were looking at sort of a top-tier analytics company to do some consulting, and their rate was in the range of about $12,000 a day.
Yeah, now a top-tier analytics company is
sure.
A little bit of a different issue.
Because
you're trying to get them to think about the data and things. I guess what I'm thinking is that it would probably be... If I came to you with a data request and it was data that you didn't want to share until it had been scrubbed, right? And so we hired an outside firm just to do the scrubbing of the data, and so their primary purpose was not even doing anything particularly difficult, but taking the responsibility of turning confidential data into data that could be shared with a working group. What do you imagine that cost would be?
Certainly considerably less than that, but yeah. I don't think it's wildly cheap.
Yeah, I don't think it's wildly cheap either. So, I don't know. So the question is, do you think we could put a number out there, like $100,000, or is that just going to blow everybody's mind? And what's the process been in the past for work groups to request budget on a case-by-case basis?
Sperry, I don't know that there has been. I mean, to my recollection, the only request that I'm remotely familiar with it was the main Who Is studies that were pushed several years ago, that took several years to complete, and that was well over $250,000 that was allocated. I've only been involved in working groups since around 2009, and I don't recollect any kind of request.
In the IAG, for the CCT review prep, did an off-cycle budget request via an interim board recommendation from the work group for this survey of the public on consumer trust, and also this economic study on pricing in the TLD space. So, that ended up being framed as an interim recommendation. It wasn't final recommendations, but as an interim recommendation so that something could get started, and the board was able to approve it, and the study was able to happen. And both of those things got discussed at this meeting. So I guess it's possible. I mean, we've done it. We did that in the IAG. That was a pretty high-stakes AOC review, obviously, and not just some random working group. But I don't know. Pam?
Yeah. Doesn't sound to make a lot of sense to put a dollar value to me without knowing the scope at this point, because we just said we're going to set a flat a cap, and without the specific of a data request, to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
So are you advocating each work group making its own request for funds?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that'll just be slow. I guess that's going to be the difficulty associated with it. Because it might require a board meeting, or at least a council meeting.
So this is Barry again. I think what's important about this part of the recommendation is that it's not the working group. The nexus for how this really came about was looking at prior to even the issue report is the issue identification stage. So that if the community starts to deliberate on a particular issue, and I'm just going to use privacy proxy as an example because it's quite emotional right now, and my example is probably not real world, but before it became a twinkle in the GNSO Council's eyes, so to speak, and Graham, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was either the IPC or the BC that was saying that this was quite an issue. It became deliberated on the council. The council then requested or got the issue report approved. Staff created the issue report. Then it became a PDP. And I've heard from community members in the past, well, was this really a big enough issue to even warrant a PDP? So the real idea here is that the stakeholder groups and constituencies can request funds to get access to particular data to validate whether it's really a big enough issue or not. So in the grand scheme of 200+ million registrations, that the revealing of privacy and proxy is only 1%. And again, this is a bad example, but does that 1% warrant all this time, effort to even get to an eventual working group? So that's I think where we're really trying to attack that part of the process, so that, for example, so the BC does say that this is an issue, you might request funds. Or you put forward the issue, the registrar stakeholder group says, well, no, it's not an issue. They would actually request the funds to provide the data and metrics for that particular issue. And then to avoid the bias that was brought up on Saturday is that, the request is made. Obviously, staff is there to assist in that process. We get some sort of data back, but it's done in an open and transparent way to try to avoid the bias, because if the registrar has made the request, they're the ones driving it, you could easily add bias to say, oh, no, there's not a problem. So, you know, we've got to make that it's shared across all the stakeholder groups and constituencies. Once that report is complete, should it, get to that stage and is used to be discussed at the GNSO Council level, then, of course, that report would accompany an issue report should it be determined that it truly is an issue worthy of further exploration. So I think it, when we start to try to socialize this with the community and certainly the GNSO Council, that's kind of the premise of where this budget allocation should be coming from. When we're in a more formal working group stage, you know, there, as was pointed out, there's already processes in place for the community to more or less request to staff that we need funds to do additional research, such as you pointed out for the IAG.
It's Jonathan for the transcript. What absent our recommendation, if there was just a motivation, would it normally be that somebody would make a motion before council to request that a study be done for scoping a particular problem? Is that kind of how this would go down generally, that I would just send my IPC counselors to the council meeting and say we'd like to propose a motion that a study be done on privacy proxy because we think that it's a bigger problem. We in the IPC think it's a big problem and deserves a work group to look at it. And then the group would just vote to find the money to do it. I wonder if that's necessarily a flawed. Is that a flawed mechanism?
Sperry, that's basically the process. The decision tree that we created was really kind of just documenting the obvious. That's more or less what does happen. I think the only thing that particular instrument doesn't provide, or that in the real world, is how slow that is, which kind of comes back to trying to have some kind of funds that are allocated. The whole point of this is that you get to, you know, make an immediate request, and there's a credit card sitting there, so to speak, you know, that we can just run it and hopefully get the results of some sort of report within 6 weeks or something, and not 6 months. That's definitely one of the other aspects to this. But to answer your question, yes, that is the general process. You know, whoever has the particular issue, they put that forward to the GNSO Council, and then of course there needs to be agreement at the council that more research should be done. Once that is approved as a formal resolution, then it's passed along to staff to figure out where the funds would come from. And at least as far as I know today, within the GNSO realm, there is no budget allocated directly. You know, that's just sitting there. And I'm sure you're all familiar with, if you have a little bucket of money sitting there and it never gets used, then it goes away the next budget cycle because, you know, or if it's not used enough, it's reallocated, or somehow requests come in that tap that budget that for what it wasn't originally allocated for. So that's probably not likely either, especially from the community budget request, but that's more in the finance world.
Pam Little. So, Barry, just on what you said, would it make more sense that we make some sort of recommendation to have some fund reserved for the GNSO for collecting data purpose as a general use rather than a working group-specific amount? Say, in ICANN's annual budget, there will be amount for that purpose.
Yeah, that's basically what what the recommendation should do. Exactly how staff will go about implementing that recommendation, I'm not quite clear. Again, I'm trying to think into the future, but so let's assume that we have the working group's recommendations are approved by the council around September timeframe. We'll have already passed the fiscal year 16 window for the community to submit any kind of budget request. So in terms of implementation of some sort, you know, now we're looking at fiscal year 17.
When is that?
That usually starts around December-ish, I believe. But that's not to say that in terms of the pilot program.
The fiscal year starts in July or something, right? We're just about to start 16 now?
That's correct.
So we've already missed it.
Correct.
Now,
right.
We did some interim.
Right. But what we're talking about, again, is this imaginary bucket of money set aside for that. That's not to say that come September or October 1st, the recommendations have been approved, staff starts to implement, and the IPC realizes, oh, we need to have some kind of research done. You know, I'm sure one way or another, staff, ICANN, will be able to figure out if how and where there could be some budget or monies allocated to that particular request. And this kind of goes back to why I'm almost of the opinion that the two recommendations that we have listed in the report be combined as one, so that there's true connection to that. Because otherwise, if it's, all right, I mean, it's ultimately up to the working group, but just to have a pilot program without any kind of funds allocated or connected to that, then we're already really talking just steady state, not some kind of pilot program. Does that make sense?
It's Jonathan. I mean, a pilot program could end up testing if the data pizza fund is not approved. But the pilot project is, and the pilot project, I guess, could try to go through normal channels to get data. It occurs to me that looking at the actual process of this, would that in fact be an issue report? Or just something prior to even an issue report being done that would just be like a scoping analysis or something like that. And if that's true, do we need to actually to try to noodle changes to the issue report request process that introduces a data, as opposed to the IPC requesting it, do we need to put, if scoping is necessarily going to come before issue report, do we need to introduce, as we are in these other process documents, is there a council process document in which we should be trying to insert something about data prior to an issue report request of staff?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Steve from staff. So the request for issue report, I actually just filled one out for the new GTLD subsequent rounds one, and it actually does ask data-driven questions. I think what this pilot and the budget would do is actually make that gathering of data and scoping of the data more feasible. So it actually asks those questions. It's just it might not be reasonable for the party identifying the issue to actually get the data, and so I guess we'd be facilitating it, but it does ask the questions I think that should be asked.
Okay, so you feel like the issue report request form already has the requisite data. So the question, though, is the thing we're talking about something that happens prior to an issue report, or is the issue report process the best place to do it, and it just gets short-circuited by a scoping analysis that happens first, and then the issue report is, hey, this is not an issue. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that question making sense procedurally?
So this is Steve again. So the request itself is what goes to council. So ideally, you're doing the research beforehand, and then you know, you're putting the responses or the data into that actual form before it gets to council.
So oh, the request isn't a request that data be part of the issue report. The request for an issue report includes questions about data that is assumed to have already been gathered.
Exactly.
Okay.
But in that case, a discussion group had already been formed. It is a good example, but it's a good example for that stage of the policy process. And I think this kind of goes back to what you were mentioning, Jonathan, about the process itself, is how does this request become materialized before even a discussion group gets started? So...
Yeah, I'm not even sure I know. I still haven't gotten clarity on what a discussion group is.
Well, exactly.
A coffee clutch. But so that's the question. Is there a data request? Are we trying to introduce another process into council, which is a scoping request that might happen prior to an issue report request? And if so, is there something we need to do to formalize that new stage in policy development?
And I would say yes. So, again, let's kind of go back to the example. The IPC, through its deliberations, determines that there's some kind of issue that they need more research on.
Mm-hmm.
And because we aren't at a working group or discussion group or issue report stage, does the council even need to be involved at all?
I see.
And should it be that the IPC fills out the form and submits it directly to staff? We're interested in finding more data about this particular issue, and somehow
that sounds great. That does require finding money in advance,
right? And that's why I was thinking, again, there's this allocated budget, this credit card that exists out there within reasonable means. If the IPC were to come forward with a request, and part of that request is you've defined the requirements, you've defined some of the scope of the data that you're looking for. You've already helped identify who might have that data.
So this is another document we probably need to create, too.
Well, I think we have that. That's that metrics request form. That's the request that you would submit either to the council or to staff. Ideally, at this point, would be staff instead of the council. Staff would take that request, question you on it, are these requirements valid? Is the scope of this request appropriate? You might already have an idea of who has the data. Then the question is, well, how much is it going to cost? And if it is within, $20,000 range or something, then, I don't think that would be a huge concern. When it gets above 50 grand or something, then that's a fair chunk of money, and that's where things would break down. So, but I guess we're debating into the future that we really don't know what some of those requests look like, and that's why I'll just stop there. Oh, and now I remember. That's why I wanted to use IRTPD as the example. And now, granted, that's a very far out into the future, because those recommendations need to be implemented. Then a year needs to go out, and it's likely more staff driven as a result of the implementation of those recommendations, and not necessarily a use case for here, but at the end of the day, it is a real-world example of how data is going to need to be acquired. But again, this is at the tail end of the policy process, and what this is about more is at the very beginning. So you know, and trying to think about the future. Let's assume that it's not a pilot program, but there is this credit card that exists out there. You know, 3 years from now, is there going to be 15 requests every month for, you know, well, I need access to this type of data from the BC. The registries are requesting this kind of data. Or is it going to be just a one-off kind of thing that happens every 6 months? So it's really hard to predict what that might look like. And I think what we need to do, at least in terms of these recommendations, is shape some kind of fence around that so that it doesn't get out of hand and that everybody is asking for this report and that report and this data and that data, and then all of a sudden we've got a $300,000 credit card bill. So we need to figure out some kind of control mechanism around that so that it's meaningful. So I think we've kind of talked enough about this. Let's just quickly run through some of the other.
Should we set a number? Sorry, I didn't want to go on the record. This is Jonathan. should we just come up with a number and that we throw over the transom at council and just see what the reaction is to it? Should we just say 50 grand or something like that?
This is Graham. I would go 50 grand. 50 days of $1,000 a day consulting to do that seems like enough days to get something done in a pilot project or two.
And at least it's something tangible, other than saying...
You can, the following year, you can say we need more and it's working well, or people are abusing it and we need to do, I mean...
Sarah Bakke. Yeah, I completely agree with what y'all are saying and what Graham said. I think at this point we just have to pick a number, see how it works, and go from there. I mean...
See, that's the benefit of a small crew here early in the morning. We just make decisions like that. I love it. We've got multi-stakeholderism and
all right,
the desire to go back to bed.
So let's go ahead and move on. We only have 15 minutes left just to kind of quickly talk about some of the other recommendations. So in the Adobe Connect room, I have viewed... We had discussions prior to about the principles that had been created, and I think in terms of this version of the report, I'm still kind of in a quagmire as to how we deal with this, and I do need your help to figure out what we're going to do. The way these principles are outlined now, there's no home for them, and there's nothing to specifically implement. You know, so, you know, after we get back home, I need assistance from the group to figure out what to do with these. And do we sunset them in a way, or do, as Jonathan, I think you had suggested prior to, do we figure out how to reword these and find a home for them in the working group guidelines? And so, for sure... For sure, the what the group needs to do is read every line of the working group guidelines so that we can try to find a home for some of these. I did make a suggestion, which is still in the comment, for some of these around page 50 of section 4.4 of the working group guidelines. But again, we still need to figure out what to do with these. And so that we can wrap that part up.
Yeah, Barry, I certainly agree. I mean, my sense on principles is that we either need to find a way to actualize them in the working group guidelines, or you throw them in the introduction. I mean, I don't think principles make sense as part of a recommendation.
All right, great. Thank you. So, again, please take a look at those and let's figure out a path forward to get those resolved. So the next kind of part of recommendations is in section 5.3.5.2. All right, so within this section, there's two recommendations. The first, again, this kind of goes back to the early outreach of at the working group stage. So just to jog your memory, at that point of the policy process or shortly after working group gets initiated, it's basically reaching out to stakeholder groups, constituencies, SOs, and ACs to ask for additional input to help better inform the issue as the working group begins its deliberations. And so there were a couple of recommendations that Tony and myself had come up with prior to. So I think the first one, recommendation 4, is that staff be directed to update the Annex 1 of the working group guidelines. As I tried to point out, or what the comment mentions to the right there, is that there didn't seem to be anything specific in the working group guidelines that talk about this. So the you know, more or less the recommendation here is to kind of create a new subsection somewhere within the guidelines. And then the secondary part is work product templates. This one, I'm kind of glad that that the group is going to hopefully put this forward, because this has been kind of a pain in the backside for a while, having to draft some of these documents, that there's not a full-blown template out there. But in general, what recommendation 5 is about is creating an issue report template, final report template, and then, of course, a charter template. And specifically within the working group guidelines on page 50, there's some outlines or pointers to previous work products, and I even clicked on a few of the links. They're broken. And they refer to work products that were created
In the last century.
So at any rate, the reason for that particular recommendation 5, though, is ultimately the further recommendation down is about the continuous improvement recommendation if consensus recommendations are created out of working group. Recommendation 6 is the charter template recommendation, which is in annex, one of our annexes within our report, but that has that particular section. So that's what that's about. We'll go ahead and move on down. Then we have the conclusions and next steps. I feel like I've missed some somewhere in this report, and it's really hard to navigate within the Adobe Connect room. So anyway, I think I'll stop rambling, other than to say that the group needs to have some homework done. Know it, learn it, love it, live it with the working group guidelines, so that we can find appropriate places for staff to make the implementation of these recommendations. The work product templates, believe it or not, is actually happening right now. And I'll stop there. I won't stop there. in light of that, once the working group has, once the meeting has concluded here, we usually take the typical week off at post-meeting to decompress. So I imagine that we'll be meeting again. Our next meeting will be the week of July 13th. So that should give the group plenty of time to digest this. Please review this draft of the initial report, make any edits. I'll make sure to send out a track changes version, but you're more than welcome to start editing the report, and we can incorporate that into a master. Any other suggestions you might have on the recommendations themselves, and we'll continue to evolve this as we move forward. Our time... Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Jonathan Zook for the transcript. Is there a particularly good way to divide up the workgroup guidelines task? Are people going to just throw suggestions about how about this session, how about this? What's the best workflow for us to do this homework in a non-duplicative and inefficient way? I guess that's something. What's the best way to make recommendations with respect to that document?
I actually prefer duplicative. I think everyone here needs to be very familiar with the guidelines.
Just be prepared to discuss it?
Be prepared to discuss it, offer up suggestions. Because right now, everything that we have right here is staff-led, basically.
Right.
So I really need help from the group to get something more tangible here. And I'm hopeful that... you know, when this does get submitted for a public comment, that there will be more input from the community instead of just the five or six that are involved here. But anyway, yes, I'm definitely open to suggestions on, you know, should a new section be created? Should we edit a current section? Or maybe I doubt we need to make a recommendation to remove a section in the working group guidelines. That could probably be contentious. But the other aspect is, you know, based on whatever charter question is being addressed, just lost my train of thought. that we could also use help in drafting the actual content of what would go in that. So if, you know, I recommend that we create a new section on early working group outreach. All right, so that's going to be section 4.1.2 of the working group guidelines. And here's what the actual wording or content of that would be, that we could also use help with that. So that, because I think that would help put context to the recommendation when staff goes to implement it.
Yeah, and this is Jonathan again. I guess I'm saying that some of those things feel like they could be volunteered or voluntold. Like, for example, Tony was the guy that thought of that, and he's on the call if he's still awake. Should we just... Tony, do you want to take a shot at that one in particular, for example?
Which section in particular?
The section on making early outreach to other, it's this recommendation for early work group outreach, for example.
Yeah.
In other words, find a home and come and propose some language.
Yes, that's fine. This is Tony Alvarado. I'll do that.
Is there a way for us to sort of figure out what other things need to be an easy way to list the things? I mean, maybe you and I can commit and we can circulate this on the list, but maybe we can turn this into a set of assignments that people can volunteer for one of them instead of everybody thinking about possible text for that paragraph, for example. I mean, I'm happy to work on these templates. So let's resolve to come up with an assignment list, basically, of what needs a home and what needs drafting, and then I'll start whipping that on the list over the next couple of weeks.
Sounds good. So I think that's really. I mean, we only have 3 minutes left. We can see the mass pouring of crowds coming in because they were late. So without any other comments or suggestions, like I said, I'll send out a revised version of this report that at least has the track changes in it, and then I will definitely do some kind of assignment matrix maybe.
Yeah, so Steve and Barry, let's plan a call, maybe the three of us next week, early next week. All right? All right, everyone. Anyone else have anything they want to add or anything like that before any other business, before we close the meeting? I appreciate everybody coming out early and getting on the phone even earlier. And we're just into the details now, but I'll share that the council as a whole was pretty excited about, you know, what we were doing, and a lot of people came up to me afterward and said, finally, and so, I think that's all a good sign, so I appreciate all of your efforts. Let's call this meeting adjourned.